coming up now.
Sometimes, you know, people have suffered and to make great change. And I know my family has suffered. I know the victim's family has suffered. And I tell people all the time, you know, my name is Martina Correa, and I'm on death row because that's where my brother lives.
That was Martina Correa, the sister of Georgia death row inmate Troy Davis, speaking in 2008. Yesterday, the Supreme Court made the unusual decision to intercede in her brother's case. Troy Davis has been on death row in a Georgia state prison since he was convicted of the 1989 murder of an off-duty police officer. With us this morning is Adam Liptak. Adam is the Supreme Court correspondent for our partners, the New York Times. Welcome back to the show, Adam.
Hey, good morning.
Now, Adam, tell us quickly about why Troy Davis is on death row.
He was convicted of killing an off-duty policeman who came to the aid of a homeless man who was being beaten. It was a chaotic scene. Somebody shot the off-duty policeman. Nine people testified against Troy Davis and identified him as the shooter. But it turns out seven of them have recanted and said that police and prosecutors pressured them to testify against Davis. And there's some substantial evidence that one of the remaining witnesses against Davis was the actual shooter. But this is not the kind of, you know, factual dispute the Supreme Court typically dives into. So it was a bit of a surprise in the middle of the summer when they don't do much
of anything.
In fact,
I thought they were on vacation. So,
exactly.
Why did they intercede?
It must have. I mean, the only good explanation, and it's one that drove two dissenting justices, Clarence Thomas and Antonin Scalia, crazy, is that they were just offended by the notion that there was the possibility here that the state of Georgia might execute an innocent man.
How is it that seven witnesses recanted? That's pretty unusual for that to come about.
Well, witness recantations are not so unusual, and you can't put too much stock in them, because sometimes they happen because, you know, years after the trial, a lawyer comes to your door and has a nice chat with you and puts an affidavit in front of you, and you sign that. Now, I'm not suggesting that's what happened here necessarily, but courts are skeptical. Courts say, listen, we have trials, we have juries who can evaluate the credibility of the witnesses in front of them, and the fact that somebody signs a piece of paper years later should not by itself overturn a jury verdict.
And yet, in this case, the Supreme Court seems to have just done just that.
Well, what the Supreme Court did here, and in the view of a lot of people probably is the right solution, is they sent it back to the federal trial court in Georgia and said, listen, have a hearing, hear testimony, take evidence. Let's get to the bottom of this thing. They haven't said, we're going to take Troy Davis off of death row. They've said it's time to get to the bottom of this and have a proper hearing.
And just as we wrap up, why would any of these trial courts rule differently than they did in the past?
Well, that's what Scalia dissenting said. He says the evidence is what it is. This whole thing's a fool's errand, that this is a sure loser for Troy Davis. But this case has attracted a ton of attention. The Pope has spoken out about it. 27 former prosecutors and judges filed a brief on Troy Davis's behalf. So I think it's an open field now, and I think a federal trial judge in Georgia will have a serious look at all of the evidence now available.
All right. And the takeaway is that Scalia has been driven crazy by his colleagues. Amy?
that may well be it, yes.
Not being driven crazy are the Afghanistani people who are going to have their highly anticipated presidential election this Thursday. We're getting an on-the-ground perspective from Kabul. Also, for those of you who are following the healthcare debate, there's one voice you are definitely going to want to hear that towers above all others. Dr. Howard Dean, former Democratic Party chairman and former governor of Vermont, he joins us in 20 minutes, so stick around.